Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're wrapping up this week's daily editorials with Steve Penny, founder and publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. As always, Steve has shared a handful of charts with us that we will be posting below this interview so all of you can follow along. And Steve has simplified these charts, as he always does, by drawing some of the key support lines, some of the trend lines we need to be paying attention to, and summarizing his comments below. We are going to be focusing a lot on precious metals, starting off with this gold weekly chart, looking back to 2018 to present, and really most importantly is this triangle pennant formation that we are seeing that came into effect, or at least started on gold's peak there in mid-2020. We finally have a break above this pennant formation, and even more importantly, it really looks like gold is going to close the week above this formation. Fair enough, that has a lot of people, I guess, optimistic, positive on the sector. Steve, let's just start out simply with this pennant formation and the break that we have seen, and really that started about a week and a half ago, but closing this week, the significance of this, please.
Yeah, hey, Corey, hey, Shad, thanks for inviting me back. We just had a great conversation before we hit the record button talking about how emotional these metals are, investing in silver and gold specifically. And we've had a really nice rally here in gold over the last couple of weeks, and we have indeed broken out. And from my perspective, this looks like a trend change. We've broken out above the upper rail of that triangle pattern that is really obvious. Anyone who looks at charts has been watching this triangle pattern. So we broke above that on really nice volume. And then the next thing we were looking for was a higher high. And it looks like we're going to get a weekly close above 1880, the previous swing high. So from a technical perspective, this does look like a trend change. However, like we said, these metals are very emotional, and people start posting rocket ship emojis on social media and thinking we're going straight up. And that's not how uptrends work. My base case scenario here is two steps forward, one step back. And I do think we're likely to see higher highs and higher lows. But, you know, a little short-term pullback here would not be surprising at all. And in fact, I would love to see a back test of that 200-day moving average, which roughly coincides with the lower rail of that triangle pattern. And that would be right around $1,800. Now, I'm not sure we'll get that, but that would be very healthy if we pulled, you know, you break out, back test, and then continue higher, two steps forward, two steps back. So that's kind of my base case scenario and what I'm looking for in gold. And what's interesting, not to get too far ahead of the conversation, but silver really hasn't moved. So I'm wondering here, is silver going to play rapid catch up to gold, or is gold going to kind of fall back to in alignment with silver? So that remains to be seen.
Yeah, Steve, it's going to be interesting, especially considering the time frame we're in. We're just a few weeks away from the first Fed rate hike. So it'll be interesting to see how both metals react. But just focusing on this gold chart for a little bit longer, you've outlined some interesting resistance levels there. And we were talking with our buddy Craig Hemke about this. There seems to be this $40 incremental level to the downside and to the upside, where you had the 1840, the 1800. But to the upside, you've got above 1880, you've got that 1920, 1960. So it's weird that there's these $40 increments. But 1920 was also significant in that 1921 was the all-time high from 2011. So do you see that as a key resistance level to get above, to really get the positive momentum going, where maybe more generalists would say, hey, not only is gold above 1900, but it's above that old all-time high and it's above the peak from last year? Would that be what you want to see to get maybe some momo going in the sector?
Absolutely, 100%. Whenever you can make a higher high, that's technically significant. And 1920 is the next higher high. But you're right, that dates back to 2011 as well. That was the previous all-time high before we took that out and made a high of $2,089 in August of 2020. So 1920, very, very significant. That's the next resistance level to watch for sure.
Steve, you make a comment within this chart that a major trend reversal appears to be underway, meaning investors should expect higher highs and higher lows going forward. However, we should also expect a two-step forward, one-step back type of process. I want to start at the very start of that comment. What is signifying to you this major trend reversal? Obviously, higher prices show that more investors are coming in, but anything else on this chart or fundamentally that leads you to believe that, well, to make that comment, a major trend reversal is underway?
Yeah, I like to say fundamentals tell me what to buy, technicals tell me when to buy or when to sell. So really, we're seeing, I think, both kind of converge here with bullish fundamentals and a bullish technical backdrop. So the most basic definition of an uptrend is when price is above a rising 50 and 200-day moving average. Well, we've got that now in gold, not in silver yet. And then from a fundamental perspective, you know, as your guests have well highlighted, that typically what happens as you lead into a Fed rate hike cycle, so you get a sell-off ahead of time, and then gold rallies on the news. It becomes like a sell the rumor, buy the news type of event. Well, these kind of patterns only repeat so many times before the market catches wind and they realize this is likely to happen. And what we could be seeing here is the market anticipating the rally that typically happens after the first rate hike. Maybe it's happening before the rate hike this time. So I think that's certainly possible. Of course, everyone knows about the inflation, and I don't think anyone really expects them to get ahead of the curve on inflation. They may do some nominal rate hikes, but it's not going to, you know, I don't think anyone expects positive real rates. And as you guys know, negative real rates are the primary driver of precious metals. So we've got all that converging here. But like I said, you know, we got to keep our emotions in check. Just like it's easy to become despondent after these gut-wrenching sell-offs, we got to try to not become euphoric during these, you know, little rallies. So just keep your emotions in check. Look at the data. And the data right now is telling me that it looks like a trend reversal. Although, you know, we are due for a short-term pullback here in gold.
Well, Steve, one thing that has me slightly concerned is that we've had a couple different people on that were anticipating historically a sell down going into the rate hikes. And then from that corrective move, that would give the energy to build the leg up when the rate hike cycle actually starts. In this case, you may be correct. Maybe people are all anticipating that and front running it. And so we're seeing this boost in concert with other factors, you know, the geopolitical factors and the high inflation. But is it possible that if inflation starts tapering down some throughout the course of the year and the Fed does start hiking rates, that it actually may be different on this cycle where maybe the precious metals would pull back into that news this time? Is that a potential here? And would that link up with the pullback you're expecting that could happen down to 1800?
Yeah, that very well could happen. And I listened to most of your guys' interviews, especially with Jordan. I think he's the one who highlighted that. And that was a fantastic point he made, that if we don't get the sell-off ahead of the rate hike cycle, will we get the pop after? So that remains to be seen, but I think that's a really valid point and thing to consider. So I think we can see disinflation where the rate of inflation slows and they get some nominal rates in. So that gap between inflation and nominal rates could narrow a little bit, but I don't think it's going to flip to being positive real rates, which is still going to be a tailwind for gold. So, you know, let's say the inflation rate falls to 5% or 4%. They're not going to get nominal rates above that. So we're going to have negative real rates is my baseline expectation. I don't see how that situation can be avoided.
Yeah, it sure doesn't seem like that's going to be avoided anytime soon, especially with where inflation is hanging around in the high single digits. Final point that I want to touch on here is the moving averages, the 200-day, 50-day, really every moving average here on the daily chart for gold. It's not shown on this weekly chart, but they are starting to tip up quite aggressively. The 200-day moving average is a little bit over 1,800. The 50-day moving average, that's even higher, about 1,850. So gold has really separated itself from these short-term moving averages, especially the 50-day, but they are sloping upward. This is the first time we're seeing any sort of slope upward in quite a while for gold. Just how encouraging and supportive is this in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I'm going back on my charts here. Let's see. The last time we were above a rising 50 and 200-day moving average was, going all the way back to the summer of 2020. So it's been a while since we've seen this technical posture. And those two moving averages, I keep my charts very clean and simple. I don't use a lot of indicators, but I put that 50 and 200-day on there because those are key inputs to these institutional trading algorithms that really drive these markets, these computers. And a lot, the 50 and 200-day is a key input. And you know, typically when price is above a rising 50 and 200-day moving average, those machines, those algorithms are programmed to be in a buy the dip mode instead of a sell the rally mode when the situation is opposite. So that's just another reason why I'm cautiously optimistic here over the intermediate term, over the next few months, let's say.
Well, Steve, let's move on to the next chart, which is the gold versus the Dow. We've talked about this a couple interviews back, but it's nice to bring it back up because we have seen recently a few green shoots. They are little green shoots, but off that arc resistance, we are starting to see the precious metal sector in general, not just gold, but also the mining stocks and silver. The last week or two, we've seen some outperformance versus the equity markets. And really, one could argue, you know, since 2022, the calendar year rolled over, we've seen the precious metals faring a little bit better, holding up a little bit better than the general markets. What do you make of the longer term gold versus Dow chart, though?
Yeah, there's a lot to say about this chart, and I thought this was a good time to revisit it because, number one, the ratio is bouncing right where you would expect it to, right off of those key technical levels, that lower rail of that uptrend line, and then that bullish arc pattern. And from a big picture perspective, you know, longer term, you know, next 5-10 years, typically in bull markets, that Dow gold ratio reaches a 1-to-1, as extreme as that may sound. And that would mean over the longer term, gold outperforms general equities by a factor of roughly 20 from here. I know that may sound sensational, but that's just history repeating. And so it's instructive here to see gold beginning to outperform general equities, because there's a lot of generalist investors who maybe don't care or don't track, you know, fiat currencies and all these things that gold bugs track, that I track myself. They just care about performance and outperformance. So if they see the metals begin to outperform their general equities, that's going to attract their attention and maybe say, hey, let's put a portion of our capital into these sectors. So seeing gold beginning to outperform stocks is certainly encouraging. And I think this is something we can revisit every couple months here and see how this develops. But it's looking good so far.
Yeah, this is a really long-term chart too. One thing to consider is that these trends that we see are decade-long trends. You look at that drop from that 1-to-1 down to that bottom, that was almost 20 years.
Yes.
And then we had, let's say, a 12-year uptrend there where gold was outperforming the Dow, and then about a 10-year correction. So in terms of trends, what do you need to see to confirm that we could be in another long-term trend, but this time to the upside?
Yeah, so when you see a confluence of factors come together, and you're right, this is a really big picture, zoomed out chart. I was actually torn between sending you the zoomed in weekly chart, and I've got a chart here that goes back to late 2018 to present, and we are breaking out on the weekly chart. We broke out in the first week of January, and we've just been steadily rising. So that's encouraging. Yeah, you're right. You can get fake out moves here in these kind of patterns when you know you're looking at a 40-year chart. So it's just something you have to monitor. Not like an end-all be-all, but when you see this chart bouncing nicely along with a breakout in gold, along with the moving averages, like you said, being in bullish alignment, along with the fundamental backdrop, you have more pieces of the puzzle coming together for a bullish outlook for the metals. And you know, I think that's going to continue. I think the pieces are going to come together further, and I really do think the next couple of years are when we see some really, really big moves in the metals.
Well, speaking of the metals, let's shift things over to the silver chart. You provided us a weekly chart for silver, and it's like gold's hyped up little brother, silver. It tends to overperform on both sides of the spectrum, to the downside and the upside. And a lot of investors are kind of disappointed in silver over the last year, Steve. It's been channeling sideways. It's almost been directionless to some degree, but you've outlined the silver squeeze downtrend channel, and then also that major support down at 2141. What do you make of this chart, and where is silver going?
Yeah, silver has confounded and frustrated a lot of investors, including myself, for the last couple of years. But, you know, my contrarian nature kind of likes this, that it's not doing what you would expect and people thrown in the towel. So where are we technically? We're right in the middle of that downtrend channel that goes back to February 1st of 2021 when the silver squeeze began. And every time we've rallied up and tapped that little downtrend line, we failed. Price is also below a declining 200-day moving average, which is the opposite situation of what we just talked about in gold. So one of two things can happen here. Either silver can play rapid catch-up, or gold can fall to bring that gold-silver ratio back into, you know, normal alignment, I guess. My baseline expectation is for silver to play rapid catch-up at some point, probably in 2022. I'm not talking about in the next couple weeks, although that's possible. But I think in the next quarter or two, silver's going to play rapid catch-up. And that's typically what happens. We were just talking before the call in 2019, when gold broke out first, we could have had the same exact conversation about 3 years ago. And then boom, silver went from, I think it was in the mid-teens up to, you know, the mid-20s in a very short period of time. So I think that's very likely to repeat.
So I guess one question that I'm sure a lot of silver bugs have is, look, we're seeing gold move higher. We're even seeing base metals hold up at higher levels and continue to get pushed at these higher levels. So that balances out the precious metals side of things and the industrial use side of the argument for silver. Why isn't sentiment more favorable to silver, considering still how far away it is from the all-time highs and honestly how much it has underperformed over this last decade?
Yeah, it is really quite confounding. I mean, there's no, I don't think, definite answer there. However, if you believe that this time is not different, you know, that's the most dangerous couple of words in investing. This time is different. I don't think this time is different. And historically, silver always, whenever gold makes a new all-time high, silver follows suit. That just happens. And we haven't seen that yet, but I expect it to happen. And that's why I just hold my physical metal and accumulate mining stocks in anticipation of that. You know, for anyone who's wants to be a little bit more conservative, there's nothing wrong with being more heavily skewed towards gold. But typically in a bull market, silver outperforms gold. And I fully expect that to happen this time.
It absolutely does, Steve. And it usually has far more leverage to the upside. But just to cover the other side of it, to play devil's advocate, if we were to see a corrective move in the metals, and if that 2141 support were to break, what would your outlook be then?
Well, that's certainly key support, $21.41. That's the low since we started this downtrend back in August of 2020. It's really hard to tell how that would play out. If that were to happen, my baseline expectation would be for it to be a quick spike down to maybe high 18s, low 19s, somewhere in there. But I think that would be a spike similar to like what we saw on the COVID crash in March of 2020, where silver dropped down to like $12 and then boom, V-shaped recovery. So if that support were lost, I think that's what's likely to happen. You know, the worst case scenario would be that 2141 instead of support becomes long-term resistance, and it takes a while to get back above 2141. I mean, that's hard to foresee in this environment with the fundamentals and the technicals we're seeing in gold. Anything is possible. That's why 2141 is so important to watch. But from my perspective, any dips towards that level, that's where I'm loading up. I'm accumulating strongly on any dips towards that level.
Overall, though, is it fair to say that this silver chart, though, is kind of a mess? We're looking to other areas, other charts to say, well, this is the positive argument for silver. But quite frankly, this chart is not giving you a whole lot, is it?
No, I mean, what I look for is extremes, and I like clear technical patterns. Like in gold, we had that obvious triangle pattern. The only obvious pattern right here in silver is that downtrend channel, going back to, you know, the silver squeeze, February 1st. So really, until we get above that downtrend channel, you know, there's really not much to say about it other than, you know, have a strategy. I think strategy here becomes much more important than predicting the next what's going to happen in the next few weeks, because we don't see any clear technical signal other than, you know, it's likely silver is going to catch up to gold because it historically does. So, you know, my strategy is to accumulate on dips. There's nothing wrong with simply waiting for a trend reversal and then buying. So it all comes down to strategy, position sizing, and how you want to handle it, and what your fundamental conviction is in silver.
Some good points there, Steve, because everybody should have a roadmap of how they want to invest. And some people like to wait for the proof to be in the pudding and for the reversal to be in place. But when silver starts to move, as you pointed out, it can move really quickly and then people are stuck chasing. So I agree that another good strategy is buying into the weakness when it gets down near that 2141. But let's pivot over to one more metal that could be considered a precious metal. It is to some degree since it's in coins and bars, but it's still more used in the automotive sector. And that is platinum. You provided a weekly platinum chart. It has a downward trending channel, only it actually has recently broken above its upper rail there. So what do you make of the chart of platinum here on the weekly chart?
Yeah, and briefly, one more thought on silver on that 2141 support. I mean, there's a lot of different techniques and strategies you can employ. But, you know, one would be, let's say you're nervous about it, but you say, hey, I want to buy the dip. If we go back to 2141, which I don't think is likely that we pull back that far, but if we did, there's nothing wrong with placing a stop loss just below there and managing risk that way. So just highlights the importance of strategy. You know, a lot of people don't have a plan. There's no right or wrong plan, but having one is, I think, more important than short-term predictions. But yeah, moving on to platinum there, you're exactly right. The comments we made regarding gold mostly applied to platinum. It broke out above its 200-day moving average this week. It broke above that downtrend channel that goes back about 12 months. So you can say, hey, this is a technical breakout. However, the 200-day moving average is still downsloping. The 50-day moving average is still below it. So it's still earlier days in platinum. But really, what really appeals to me about platinum is it's undervalued relative to almost everything, including gold and silver. I do think it's much more speculative than gold and silver. So, you know, I put a much smaller percentage of my overall portfolio into it. But, you know, if you ask me, hey, what's one metal that could potentially outperform silver, I would have to say platinum, although it's more risky.
I also want you to break down that middle point that you have on this platinum weekly candle chart that says currently dollar sign plat only makes up 10% of the metal I keep in vaulted storage with HAA. You would like that number to get closer to 20%. What's holding you back?
Well, what I do mostly is I don't do anything all at once. You know, if I want to own a stock, I don't just say, boom, I'm going to buy it all in one shot. I scale in. So what I'm doing is I dollar cost average, speaking of strategy, into physical metal each month. I buy a little silver, a little gold, a little platinum. So what I'm personally doing to get that ratios where I want them is buying a little bit more platinum than I am gold and silver each month to get those ratios into my personal goals.
So just rebalancing your metals holdings as you go over time and baby steps, as they say. And then you'd also mentioned that platinum has the potential that it could actually outperform silver. And you did provide a platinum versus silver ratio chart. And overall, platinum has definitely underperformed silver, but it is getting near that major breakout point. If you look at the downtrending triangle, the upper rail of it, do you think that platinum really could make such a move that it would really break out versus silver in the years to come?
Well, the way you phrased that question, you said, do I think it could? And the answer to that is yes. Do I think it will? The answer to that is maybe. And the reason, you know, I always like to look at both sides of things, right? If you took this chart that I have here, yeah, it shows platinum is undervalued. But if you flip it and did a silver versus platinum chart, that would look like a bullish triangle where silver is about to break out versus platinum. So as these triangle patterns can go either way. Typically, triangle patterns are not reversal patterns, but they're continuation patterns. So you could make a case that the trend is going to continue where silver outperforms platinum. But there comes a point where you get to such a historical extreme that a reversal would be logical. And if that were to happen, that means platinum would outperform silver, or could outperform silver by a factor of roughly 5, just to get back to that ratio where it was in the early 2000s. So it's speculative. There's a lot of ifs and coulds in there. But to me, that's worth, you know, 10 to 20% allocation, just in case. And I think regardless, even if platinum doesn't outperform the metals, silver and gold, it'll still do well. There's a lot of fundamental catalysts that I don't think are priced in either, regarding hydrogen technology, substitution. It only makes sense for these car manufacturers to begin substituting platinum for palladium, since palladium is over twice the price. So a lot of fundamental catalysts for platinum as well.
So Steve, how do you play platinum then? How do you like to buy into it? How do you invest in this metal?
Yeah, that's a challenge with platinum, is finding quality mining stocks. And not only quality mining stocks, but mining stocks that have significant leverage to the price of platinum, because most of these platinum miners are polymetallic. They've got a significant exposure to other battery metals, nickel, palladium, things like that, copper. So it's really hard to find a way, pure play way to invest in platinum via the stock. So there's the ETF. I don't mess with that. And I just accumulate physical platinum. I think that offers plenty of upside potential for me. So that's my strategy.
All right, Steve, man, always great chatting with you, and some, I guess, more positive outlooks for these precious metals. That is very encouraging. Still sounds like we need a lot of these other precious metals to play some catch up to gold. We also need the gold stocks to play some catch up to gold. So as long as something's moving higher, then hopefully that interest does continue to come into the sector. Boy, oh boy, next week's going to sure be interesting, as it looks like gold's going to close right around that 1900 level. Let's see if we can get another push higher. Steve, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Always great chatting with you. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys.